As we prepare for our lesson from God's Word, let's pray together for the Spirit's presence in our hearing and our prayer for illumination. Praying as one, blessed are you, Lord God, King of all creation. You have taught us by your word. Open our hearts to your Spirit and lead us on the paths of Christ, your Son. All praise and glory be yours forever. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from the Gospel according to John, reading from chapter 17, verses 6 through 19. And as we read this together, listen for what the Word of God is saying to you in your lives, in your circumstances today, whatever they may be. Hear now the word of the Lord. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In seminary, we were told, never preach through your prayer. You've undoubtedly heard those sermons before, probably some right here in this room, where the prayer following the sermon is like a continuation of the sermon. My professors always said, don't do that. Preach what you're going to preach, and then pray and move on. Yet, you kind of get a sense, don't you, from Jesus' prayer here, that the prayer is as much for his disciples as it is for himself as a conversation with God. This is a really special passage, John 17. And on this Sunday, right before Pentecost, each year, we take a look at a different part of this prayer. Last year, you may not recall, we looked at the first six verses of this, along with a continuation into it, where Jesus prays for himself. And then this year, we look at how Jesus prays for his disciples. Next year, when we look at this passage, we'll look at the part of it where Jesus prays for those who will come after his disciples. Of course, I mentioned at the beginning of the service that it's Ascension Sunday. And one of the really great things about our understanding of Jesus' ascension, and what we believe about that is that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, and we believe that Jesus, being so close to God, actually continues to pray for us, seated right there next to God the Father. So here in Jesus' prayer, we get a sense of what Jesus was hoping his disciples would be, and the danger that he knew they would fall into. Of course, John 17 comes at the end of this farewell discourse that we started way back on Maundy Thursday with Jesus washing his disciples' feet at the Last Supper. And then we talked over the last couple of weeks in John chapter 15 with that image of Jesus as the vine and his disciples as the branches. And we talked about the fruit that we bear as the fruit of love. And now Jesus' prayer for his disciples is that they would be one with each other, just as he and the Father are one. In a couple of weeks, when we celebrate Trinity Sunday, we're going to talk about this mystery of God as three and one. But we'll pause for a second here today just to say that Jesus' hope for his church would be that the relationships that Christians would have would be a mirror image of the relationship that Jesus has to God and the Spirit. This beautiful relationship of three in perfect unity with each other, distinct, with their own personhood, each one their own unique person, and yet in such perfect harmony as this idea that they dance around in such a whirling dervish that it's hard to understand where one ends and the other begins. And that's the idea that Jesus had for his disciples. Of course, we don't have to get too far into the book of Acts to discover that the disciples, even after they've been prayed for, and even after they've been sanctified, set apart for this holy purpose, and sent on a mission into the world, they're still human. And they're still sinful. And they still struggle with this concept that they struggle with throughout the Gospels. Which one of them is going to be the greatest? And somehow I think that is at the core of our shortcomings as humans living in the world today. We continue to struggle with this sense of identity as being able to be truly cooperative with another in true relationship with each other without having some sense of trying to keep score, of trying to compare, to say, who's better? Sometimes we do this in our minds as Christians. We justify our bad behavior towards someone else because they are not as good of a Christian as I am, or they're sinful and so they deserve the punishment that they receive, or somehow their prayer lives are not what they should be, and so, you know, the what happens is justified. We don't say these things out loud, of course, because we don't want to be seen as terrible human beings, but it happens in our minds, it happens in our hearts. When we can't be quiet, our minds ramble on. Or maybe that's just me. Maybe that doesn't happen to you all. Pastors are maybe the worst, because we like to compare the size of our churches. Or if we have small churches, well, we have this authentic community that the bigger churches can't have. You know, somehow we still like to point out how we're better, like which one of us is going to be the greatest. And isn't that the problem when it comes to Christian unity. We've got a real problem as churches of pointing out the specks in someone else's eye without considering the log that's jammed into our own eyes. We point at our Catholic brothers and sisters and say, you know, they have this issue, you know, with this child abuse scandal that's happening. And we rightly so point those things out. But we fail to consider that within our own denomination, we have our own warts and our reformed understanding. Right? We point to prominent evangelicals or prominent TV folks that have had scandal after scandal after scandal, and somehow it helps us to sit up a little bit straighter and puff out our chests and say, well, we're not famous, but at least we're not like that. Those are the attitudes that keep us from being one, that keep us from fulfilling what Jesus had hoped for his church, that we would be one as he and the Father and the Spirit are one. And what we fail to consider, I think, is that our lack of unity does real damage out in the world. Jesus has a lot to pray about the world in this passage. He's very quick to say he's not praying for the world, he's praying for his disciples here. And he's noting that they are not of the world any more than Jesus is of the world, and yet they're being sent into the world in the same way that Jesus was sent into the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have life everlasting. Jesus was sent into the world that God loves, and Christians, those who are disciples of Jesus, are sent into the world. The word we often use is mission. The word as it's translated here is sending. The Greek word is apostle, or a variation of the word apostle. Those who are sent in mission into the world are apostles. And if you're sitting here today and you trust Jesus with your life, then you too are sent into the world. My grandmother is undoubtedly watching this morning, would remind me that as Christians we are to be in the world, but not of the world. Have you heard that before? But too often, as Christians, we resemble the world much more than we bear witness to the world. Just think about the world that we live in today. If we set aside the pandemic for a second, right? All over the news over the last few days has been this ongoing conflict between Israelis and Palestinians in Jerusalem. And history will tell you that this is a conflict that's been going on since, you know, the 1920s. The Bible will tell you that this is a conflict that's been going on for thousands of years. And I'm just not sure what we hope to have happen when we're firing rockets at each other. But the Old Testament is filled with stories of the people of God and the armies of whoever else fighting and killing each other. And we as Christians believe that Jesus was sent into the world to bring about peace, to put a stop. It's like all of the violence, all of the fighting, you know, stabbing people and shooting people and beating people in order to convert them to our faith. is not the way of God. And so Jesus was sent into the world to show us a better way. But we still beat and club each other who don't believe the same things that we do. Just think about our own country. Think about the partisan divisions that we have. And the church could be a witness for unity. The church could put a giant spotlight on all of those divisions and say, that doesn't bring us forward as a people. But instead, we're too busy putting on our own armor and going out into the battle ourselves. Jesus' prayer for us is that our mission is based on unity. And that unity is based in love. There's that word again. It's a concept that comes up again and again and again. The Word, Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And as disciples, as apostles, as those who are sent, we too are to wear the flesh of Jesus out into the world, proclaiming this word, proclaiming this love. But it's really hard because there are so many powers out there that push us and twist us and pull us and tempt us and trick us into believing that our clearly stated beliefs mean that someone else has to be wrong. It takes a long time to get to where we are as a people. Right? Think about early Genesis. Think about the first brothers, Cain and Abel. They had a religious dispute and one of them killed the other. That was a long time ago. It's taken a long time to get us to where we are now. But a commitment that we make today to be a people of peace, to seek peace with each other, first here in this place, and then in those that we meet out in the world, when we go to a classes meeting or a general synod meeting. Those are the worst. I think I told you about the time a few years ago at general synod where one delegate said to another delegate, would you like to take this outside? Because they thought, you know, punching someone in the face on the floor of General Synod may not be a good Christian thing to do, but if we take it outside of the meeting, now that's a different story. But can we commit ourselves as individuals, as families, and as a church to seek unity? To seek that dancing of the Trinity that Jesus would have for us, to set aside our petty disagreements and our misunderstandings and instead give each other the benefit of the doubt and trust in vulnerability that we really do care for each other and that we really do love each other. As churches, we're not in competition with each other. It's not a race to see who can get the most people, who can have the most baptisms, who can fill the most seats. It's about love. And it's about proclaiming to the world a different way of being, a different way of living. Jesus' prayer for us is that we would be one as He and the Father and the Spirit are one. And that's my prayer for us today. That we would be committed to working towards Christian unity, to bear witness to the love of God in our Savior Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, you sent Jesus into the world to show us how to live, to show us a better way, to bring about salvation through the way of peace. Be with us as we seek unity with one another within the church. And help that unity to be so powerful that a world at war takes notice of the ways of peace and will seek a better way. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith? Today our affirmation of faith comes to us from Article 26 of the Belgic Confession, one of our Reformed standards of unity. People of God, what do we believe? We believe that we have no access to God except through the one and only mediator and intercessor, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He therefore was made human, uniting together the divine and human natures, so that we human beings might have access to the divine majesty.